brought us a long way, and he's kept us a long time. We have so much to be grateful for. Today I want to invite you to the Gospel of St. Luke. Gospel of St. Luke chapter 2. I'm just going to read a couple of verses, verse 19 and verse 51. And we're talking about the treasure of your heart. The treasure of your heart. Luke 2 and verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subjected to them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. The treasure of your heart. That's our subject for today. Look at somebody and ask this question: what's in your heart? You may be seated. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity that we have of worship. We pray that you'd bless us. And even as we prepare for communion, those that will be joining online are welcome to join us as we share in communion. But Lord, we need to ask the question, what is truly in my heart? What am I pondering? And Lord, most importantly, will it last and satisfy the need? Thank you for the message. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the faith that you've given us in Christ. Bless us only you can do, moved by your Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. A treasure is something that you don't want to leave around because the things that you feel are valuable may also be valuable to someone else, or they simply may get lost. For that reason, we want to treasure things. We want to make sure that it's in a safe, a secure, and a place that we can access it at some point in the future. That's what a treasure is all about. I'm afraid that in this generation of people that are grabbing it and going, that they are missing that opportunity to treasure things down in their soul, down in their heart. And so we got to ask the question, if we are in the place where we're storing up stuff, what is it that we are storing, and will it do us any good? This has become a critical issue for our culture because, see, we're based on consumerism. Consumerism. And that simply says we want to get more. We got to have it even if we don't need it. We want to get more and more and more. And what we don't throw away, we say, well, you know what, I might need that for some time. And so we have this thing called the byproduct of consumerism is excess. Everybody say excess. You don't really need it and doubt whether or not you will ever need it, but you paid something for it. Is excess. Just by a show of hands, how many of you all have either a storage building or a storage unit? Raise your hand real high, raise your hand. Because you're paying for that joker. So you don't really need it right now, but you just got it in case you, is that the, in case you need it, is that all right? How many of y'all wish you did have a storage unit or a storage? Now, I want to tell you something. Simply by the raising of your hand, it indicated to me that you are blessed beyond measure. Because you got stuff that you don't even need. Give the Lord a hand clap. He's been good to you. The United States and other Western nations have a problem with keeping things. The materialistic society in which we're living in, we have this thing that we engage in called impulsive buying. You watch the Home Shoppers Network, and next thing you know, you're swept into it. You wanna buy that because you gotta have it. Is that all right? It's a $40 billion annual industry. $40 billion that people are renting. Almost 10% of the American population is renting a storage space at the average cost of $90 a month just to keep stuff that we don't need right now. Are y'all still here? So there's a dilemma, and there's a question that we have to ask ourselves. What are we truly valuing? What are the things that are really important? What I have in storage, will I ever use it again? That's the problem I'm going through. I got a storage unit. And I put it there because I said to myself, I don't want to throw it away. Goodwill is tired of looking at me. So I want to try to get this thing in order. Let me put it in storage. Three critical questions. Do I really need it? Number one, do I really need it? And then secondly, where do I keep it? And then the last one, does God want me to have it? Be careful what you store. Be careful what you put in your heart. Now, I want to also deal with this not just on the tangible things of life, the stuff that we have, but I want to also deal with this on the spiritual side, because you do the same thing. You exercise the same principle spiritually when you store up stuff in your life. Some of you all are storing up attitudes toward other people, and you don't want to let it go. You got it in storage. So if you ever run across that person again, you can say to yourself, I have a reason for not speaking to you, because what you did to me, I'm still pondering it in my heart. Are y'all in the building today? I'm still thinking about it. Now, you're not still doing it, but I've stored up a spiritual picture of what you did and what you said, so that now, anytime I get ready, I can just go to my storage unit and unlock the key and get mad at you. Because I got it in storage. I don't know whether God wants me to have it or not, but I got it anyway. Are y'all still here? I can hear a pin drop right there. Now, so it brings to mind what Mary did. First of all, she assessed what it was that she was pondering and what she was storing, but then it also said that what she felt was valuable, she tucked it away in her heart. Listen to the word again. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In other words, she would go to that storage of spiritual things and would say, let me think about this. I can't understand it all, but what I can understand is there's something miraculous, something going on right now. As a matter of fact, the first time that she did that was when the report of the shepherds. You remember them. Shepherds came back and they said, now, you know, we heard the angels. They told us that glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill, and toward men, and that this is the Christ. So Mary heard that. And she said, no, I'm not going to just let it go through my ear. I'm going to get it deep down on the inside to make sure that I remember what they said about Jesus. Jesus was now just a baby. He wasn't working miracles. He had just entered into this planet. But she knew that according to what they said and what she knew about the Messiah, there was something going on. Which brings us to the second thing about our society. If we don't like it, we can just throw it away. Have anybody in here been to the garbage dump lately? And what you don't like, what you really don't value, just throw it in the dump. And I told y'all, when we were in the country, we saved everything. You save mason jars, you save plastic containers, you saved everything. What recycling? Recycle this. We were able to use it again. And I'm afraid that some of the things people are throwing away, you might need it. During this COVID, a whole lot of people decided what was more important. They were in the survival mode. And so rather than say, well, I'm going to work, people said, no, I ain't going to work. I might catch COVID. And we still got it, right? Because we wanted to take the safety measures. But now, and we've been in this thing for a little while, and it looked like your wallet ought to tell you, I need to go back and get a job. Am I messing with somebody? Let me stick to my notes then, all right? But what are you treasuring? What is it that you're depositing in your heart? Will you need it for a future event? Will you need it? Israel, that nation that God founded, that he brought them out of bondage, brought them out of Egypt, brought them into the promised land of Canaan. And God said to them, to that nation, I want you to keep my commandments. I want you to obey me, because that's how you got here. That's how you're at the place where you are now, by keeping and obeying my commandments, by following me in this pathway of life. That's how you arrived here. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 and 6 says these words, love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then verse 6 goes on to say, and these words which I command you this day shall be in your... That's the word. It shall be in your heart. That's your storage unit. You don't have to rent it. You don't have to say, well, I'm going to pay such and such per month. As a matter of fact, the ability and the capacity of your heart is so great that it can contain whatever you put in it. But please notice this. If you put the wrong things in your heart, then that's going to push out the good things in your heart. It's going to root it out. Now when you want to think a good thought and all you got is bad thoughts in your heart, the bad thoughts are going to dominate, because they tend to rule. Now the case of Israel and in their situation, they said, oh yeah, God, we're going to love you with all our heart, mind, and soul. We're going to love you. We're going to serve you. And it went well for a little while. But then they started listening to the cultures around them, to the other nations, to the Amorites, to the Hittites, and all of the other nations around them. And they started looking at what they were doing rather than pulling the things that God had put in their heart. They're now going with what they see. You wonder why you have advertisement. It's to get you to buy stuff that you don't really need, but you want. Just got to have it, can't live without it attitude. They started imitating those other nations. And so God would say to them, get rid of those things. Remove those idols. Because if you keep those things, I can't bless you. They had replaced the things of God for the things of this world. Pause for a moment. Many of us sometimes get so caught up into this world of consumerism is that we will use God to get stuff. And then we'll say, oh, how I love Jesus because what he gave me, rather than who he is. Now, you and I, we got plenty of sense. We know that we need the Lord to bless us. We need the Lord to provide for us. But you don't use God to get your stuff. You can't say, well, I'm just going to pray and I'm going to go to church and God's going to give me this and he's going, yes, he will give you all of those wonderful things, but he says, seek me first. So we pause and ask the question, what's in your heart? What's on your mind? Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, but the Israelites gradually moved away. How do they move away? Because they put the wrong thing in their heart, and whatever's in your heart is going to impact your mind, and whatever's in your mind is going to impact your actions, and your actions will determine your outcome. You can talk about how you're close to God, but if you got the wrong thing deep down in your heart, it's going to impact the way that you live. Every day you ought to do a good examination and do an inventory of what's really in your heart. Because you're going to have things that will happen to you. Life happens. How you respond to it determines what you're pulling out of your heart. If every time someone offends you, you get upset, you get mad, you watch it. Because that anger, that attitude, I'm going to get you back, I'm going to repay you, that recompense attitude is going to start impacting the way that you live. Now, your eyes are wide open, so you're not asleep, so you must be listening. The treasure of your heart, that's what we're talking about. And so it got to the point in Israel where they lost touch with God. All around Jerusalem, that holy city, they had shrines. They had idols, and during the reign of one of their kings, the 15th king, the 15th king of Judah, there were so many idols, and they actually moved God's stuff out of the way so they could worship their idols. Ah, but you say, Pastor, we don't have any idols in this country. Yeah, you got one in your own house. Every time you look in the mirror, you're looking at what you love. You're looking at what you worship. Come on now, let's be real. You know you love yourself. Man, I got to go out in public, so let me make sure everything nice, everything, I look good. And then you tell yourself, don't I look good? We have to be careful with the idols. Long story short, I'm going to wrap up this thing with Israel and bring our message to a close. But they had a spiritual storage problem. A spiritual storage problem. Their priorities had become whatever we need to make us wealthy. Whatever we need to enjoy our pleasures. That's what they put in their heart. That's what they thought about in their minds. And that's what they incorporated into their actions. And God said, I am angry with you. Because I did all of these things, the food you eat, I blessed you to have that food. I blessed you to have all these things, and now you're turned away from me. So here's what happened. It was during the reign of the 16th king of Judah, the man by the name of Josiah. Josiah wanted to bring Israel back to God. He wanted them to reform, and the Bible said that something interesting happened while they were in the temple cleaning out the mess of the idols. They were cleaning it out, and verse 34 says, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that God had given to Moses. Now, that struck my attention because, wait a minute, that was the book you were supposed to have. It's almost like going to a church and not being able to find the Bible. And I know some of y'all, you got it on your app. I got a Bible app, Pastor. I don't have to carry that big thing on my arm. I got you, man. I ain't mad at you. However you get the word, get the word. But they had lost the book of the law, which meant they should have been treasuring it all along. They had lost it. It meant nothing to them now. And then Hilkiah discovered it. He said, wait a minute. This looks familiar. Let me go and take this to the king. Let me find out what the king thinks about this. And remember, Josiah wanted to do what was right. And when he started reading that book, man, he pulled that thing out and said, wait a minute, what does this? And they started reading it to him. He said, we're in trouble. We're doomed. Because we have not obeyed what this book says. We have not followed the commandments of the Lord. So they went to Huldah, the prophetess, and they said to her, tell us kind of what's going on. You in touch with God? Tell us, Huldah, what's going to happen to us? And she said that the king did a good thing to discover this, but the punishment that God is going to send, he's going to send it regardless. Pause another time. You don't want to have your storage problem to go on. You want to try to get it straight while you have a chance. You don't want to store up stuff in your heart that you know is going to get you in trouble with people and with God eventually in the future. There comes a time in your life where you got to let go of the bad stuff and get the good stuff. Are y'all still in the building? Taking me a little while to get there. I'm an old preacher now. I got to take my time. So Josiah went about the reforms of Israel, but it was only about 30 or so years before the kingdom of Israel came crashing down because they stored the wrong things and they treasured the wrong things. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know whether you are recognizing it or not, but America is in trouble. This nation is divided politically, we're divided socially, and Lord knows we're divided economically. It used to be you had the haves and the have-nots, but the have-nots got less. And so all we're doing is saying, Lord, have mercy. We're at a critical point. Well, we've got to ask ourselves, what is America treasuring? And whenever you treasure a nation and its flag above the God who gave you that nation and that flag, I'm going to tell you what, you're in trouble. And this doesn't mean that I'm not patriotic. Don't get me wrong. I served in the military. I still hold my hand over my heart when I pledge allegiance to the flag. But my first pledge is to God Almighty, who saved my soul, brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I got to praise him. And we've got to come to our senses. It's up to you and I, those that will hear the message of truth, that we get back to God the way that we need to. Otherwise, destruction is on its way. Destruction is on its way. So you said, preacher, how do we do it? I would suggest that we use Mother Mary's storage system. That sounds good, doesn't it? Mother Mary had a spiritual storage system, and we must remember, even though she was the person on this earth closest to Jesus, his very mother, she was also a believer in the Word of God. Don't get it twisted now. Don't just think that because she was the mother of Jesus that gave her special status with God. No, she had to believe just like everybody else. But she had a storage system that she used every time she would encounter something. She didn't just drop it. She would say, wait a minute, God's in this thing. I don't know what he has in mind, but I tell you what, I'm going to make sure I store it up in my heart that I may not sin against God. Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Even when things that were over her head, she said, you know what, I'm still going to hold on to it. How many of y'all holding on? Three quick things that she did. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Right beside that verse that I just gave you about Luke 2:19, Mary kept all these things and pondered in her heart. Number one, acknowledge what God has said with your heart. Acknowledge what. If God has said it, don't just say, well, I know that's right, preacher. How many of y'all ever talk to people about going to church and changing their life, and they'll look at you and say, I know you're right. I ain't got no intention of doing what's right. They're saying, you know what, that's right. It has to reach down in your heart. Something powerful happens when you put your heart into it. I watch athletes competing, And you can tell those who just are up there just doing their thing because they got talent. But when one of them get out there, they may not be able to play as well. But every time they get knocked down, they get back up. Every time they miss something, they keep trying and trying because their heart is in it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I know God saved my soul, but guess what? I'm on my way to glory and my heart is in it. Is your heart in your service that you give to God? You can't redeem yourself. You can't save yourself, but you can act like you're saved. You can act like you know the Lord. You can walk uprightly. You don't have to join people when they're all talking this trash and everything. You don't have to join them. Well, everybody else having a good time. I'm at the family reunion now. Let me go on. Let me do the electric slide just like everybody else. You better set yourself down. And next day, complain, all right, it's hurt me. Quit doing electric slide. Boogie, woogie, woogie. I know I'm getting on your nerves. You got to put your heart in it. Because when you needed a Savior, Jesus put his heart in. Matter of fact, some of the medical people that have examined the reason why he died, it wasn't just that spear, it wasn't just those loss of blood. His heart exploded. It erupted. And so when they pierced him in the side, out came water and blood. He died because he put his heart into what he did. Second thing that Mary did, not only did she acknowledge God with her heart, she also kept God's word for the future. Jesus was yet young, but Mary knew that according to the promises, he was going to grow up. And I might need these things. I might need to recall it into mind. Matter of fact, the reason why you're reading it is because Mary told somebody and they wrote it down. Are y'all still here? See, when you ponder something in your heart, nobody else knows what you're pondering except you until you tell it to somebody else. And I can just imagine in my mind when Mary started recognizing that this, her very son that she gave birth to is now the Savior. He's working miracles. And she would reach over and hunt somebody and say, you know what? When I was carrying him, there's something strange going on. When I gave birth to him, I know that how that it was said this about him and they said that about him, and now I'm seeing it with my eye. See, when you ponder things for the future, God makes you a promise today. Now, the promise, the reason why it is a promise, which that means God ain't going to do it right now. Some of y'all missed that. You missed that. Whenever God gives you a promise, he tells you there's a time element in it. You haven't got it right now. But if God makes you a promise, you can count on it that God will bring it to pass. I got to hurry up and close this message here. He promised me that if I trust in him and if I live right, he will direct my path. And guess what? I'm where I am today because of the goodness of the Lord. Can anybody shout? Some of you can say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on what? My side. Where will I be? Thank God I'm not, amen, where I want to be. But when I look back over my life and the skeeter that I used to be, are y'all still here? Thank God he brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. Clap your hands, all you people. Third thing that Mary did, she acknowledged God with her heart. She kept her word for the future. But Mary did something else. She used her spiritual storage system to give expected praise. Expected praise. Now, there's some deep things about God. You ain't going to get it right now. You're not going to get it right now. And that sometime in church, I can tell when you all don't get something, you kind of go, what do you mean by that? But then when you start living and you remember the word that God spoke to you, you remember how he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then all of a sudden you're in a situation where you need truth, the way, and the life. And guess what? Jesus shows up. And you say, wait a minute. I remember what he said. I remember how he spoke to me. And now I can make it through my trouble. I can make it through my storm. Now I can go a little bit further. I can praise him because he kept his promise. Whenever you got a promise, God, I'm not going to do it right now. Otherwise, it's not a promise. It's a reality. It's a miracle right then. But for the future, Remember what Psalms 23 said? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, before you get to the valley, you don't even know what's going to happen in the valley. But when you know that he's walking with you, when you know that you got an anchor to hold on to, oh, help me somebody. That's when you can say, Lord, I thank you. I didn't understand it back then. I didn't understand what you were going to do. I didn't understand how you were going to work that miracle out. I brought the problem to you. I laid it before you. Didn't know what was going to happen the next day. But then you made a way out of no way. Lord, thank you. You get to the place where the praise that you wanted to give back then, you're now able to give it because you see better. You're able to understand it better. And God is blessed. When the children of Israel, I just want to close with this. When the children of Israel had gone through captivity, Daniel was one of them. He recognized how they had departed from the faith, how they had turned their back on God. But Daniel kept seeking God with his heart. He stored up things in his life. And don't you know that in the land of captivity, God used that captive and brought him up to a higher standard where he was actually a ranking official in the Babylonian government and the Persian government, because when God lifts you up, can't nobody bring you down. Are y'all still here? So you're wondering how is this going to incorporate into the ways that you're trying to live right now? God's going to be a waymaker in your life. God's going to be a burden bearer in your life. God will be the one who will direct your footsteps, but you got to follow him. You must ponder those things in your heart. Last question, then I'm going to give the altar call. What's in your heart? What do you need to let go of? Are you still carrying around the failures of what you did in the past? Today is July the 24th, 2022. How did it get here? By the mercy of God. I want to ask you a question. How long are you going to carry that nasty past? Or are you going to let it go? How long are you going to carry that attitude, mad at everybody, even though that happened in history? It's behind you now. How long will you carry those things? What's in your heart? Now, let me recommend something that's a little bit better for your heart. Jesus. He's easy to digest. Even though he's a great God, he fits right well, right down into that heart of yours. Well, you got that other stuff. Just kick that other stuff out. Just put it aside. It didn't kill you. You got through it. Come on, look at somebody. Tell them, I got through it. Now put Jesus in. That miracle worker. That man from Galilee. That one who walked on water. That one who caught a cloud and went back to glory and saying, I'm coming again. That man, that one, that name of Jesus Christ, put him in your heart and watch him rule. Watch him be the king of your life. Watch him be the savior of your soul and your very future, because he's God Almighty. Give the Lord another hand clap. Father, thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your love today. I pray that you would bless us, Lord, that we would treasure the good things of God in our heart. Lord, I thank you for working in this heart of mine and for reminding me through the Holy Spirit that there are things I need to let go and never bother them again. But then there are things I need to grab hold of and keep in my heart. I'm going to do that, Lord. I'm going to do that because it's worth it. And you will be blessing us if we do it. Save that one that needs salvation. Cleanse their life and help them most of all to forgive themselves, to walk in the grace of God. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As always, we give the invitation because we want somebody to meet a friend, to meet the greatest friend of all. I did all that talking for the last 35, 40 minutes just to introduce you to Jesus. just to let you know that he's the one, but I got to talk about him. So if you're without Christ today, online, you send us a message, crossroadbc.com. Go to our website, send us a message. This thing is important. It is critical that you get right with God. If you do that, God will certainly do what he says. If you're in here, we give the invitation. If you want to come forward and just confess Christ, maybe you're without a church home and you're seeking membership with us here at Crossroad, we welcome you. We welcome you. May we all stand. Is there one today? God bless you. You may be seated. Before we serve the communion, I'm going to ask Brendan if he would come down. Amen. This young man right here, I'm proud of him. You ever watch the way he prays? He folds his hand together, closes his eyes, and he prays seriously because he believes in the power of the Lord. Brethren, you have confessed Christ as your Lord. I'm going to ask the officers if they will come. Dean Gibbons. And as they're coming, I want to first of all introduce you to this book called the Bible. This is one on your level and my level, because we both read the same thing. I like pictures. But I want to present this Bible, something you can use in the future. Something that you can treasure in your heart, amen? And I'm going to present this certificate of baptism. It says, this certifies that Brendan Jermaine Cobbs was baptized in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit at the Crossroad Baptist Church in Evington, Virginia, on July 24, 2022. It says that the meaning of baptism, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, but like as Christ was raised up from the dead, so should we walk in the newness of life. So I'm going to present that with you. That's your baptismal certificate. I want you to hold on to that, but I'm going to do something else. I'm going to help you hold that. You can set it right there until we give you something else called the right hand of fellowship. And you stated that you wanted to join this church, right? So I'm going to give you the right hand of fellowship. That means you're part of us now. You're one with us here at the church. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you. Amen. Serve communion. I'll let you go back to your seat now. God bless you. So let's give the Lord a hand.
Stand, sing the blow, never lose the plow. I'm sorry.
Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. Thank you, Lord, for giving your body and your blood for our redemption. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take of the bread. Let us eat together. Now let us take of the cup. Let us drink together. And the Bible said that after they had eaten and drank of the Lord's Supper, they went out into the Mount of Olives, singing a hymn. We don't know what life has in store, but we know what we've got stored in our heart. May we sing with joy, because God loves us most. May we all stand. Y'all can sing a little bit more then.
Say you win, but I'm
so in other words, he lives in.